everyday witches emerge from the shadows of secrecy. Broom closets are flinging open and witches are taking flight. Whether you are hiding in your cozy closet or flying with pride, stay for a spell as Witch Casting with Theodora Pendragon and her guests share magical moments, stir the cauldron, and debunk misinformation and misconceptions about paganism, witches, and our wonderful world of magic.
Here we are for another episode of Witch Casting with Theodora Pendragon. My special guest today is Elizabeth Kipp. She's a stress management and historical trauma specialist and an ancestral clearing practitioner. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Well, thank you so much, Theodora. It's such a pleasure to be here today.
It is.
Especially on... We're recording on Halloween. This is great.
Oh, yes, we are. Yes, we are. It's wonderful. Today's a wonderful day. Where in the world are you?
I'm in Lawrence, Kansas, just in the absolute central United States. Is right down the road from where I am. The geographic center is just right down the road.
So you're not too far away from me in Texas, and we're on the same time zone.
That's right.
Have you been wanting to ride your broom like you stole it, rather than hiding in the shadows? Theodora Pendragon is here to help your magic shine, whether you want to show the world your subtle sparkle, or you really want to light your fire. Visit Theodora's online store at witchcasting.shop. That's witchcasting.shop. Remember, there's never been a better time to be a witch.
What would you like to talk about today that you think is beneficial for the listeners?
Well, today I feel like with it being Halloween, I'd love to talk about the whole concept of wise women and witches and, you know, what that is, and bring an ancestor clearing as a way to clear some of the wounds that we all carry as a result of the banishment and persecution of witches. How does that sound?
It sounds wonderful. So let's first talk about ancestral clearing. What is ancestral clearing? For those who wouldn't know.
It's a modality that was developed and is taught by John Newton of Health Beyond Belief and was pioneered by Howard Wills. And he's got... a lot of techniques at this point, because he's got, he's got three levels of training that he does. He's about to bring in a fourth one. So at this point, there's probably 20 different techniques that we use as practitioners to help people address the burden they carry through their lineage or their past. It doesn't have to necessarily be through their parents, grandparents, on down the line, although we address that. It could also be just their past, the past in this lifetime. It's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, but we look at the spiritual aspects of the physical, mental, emotional. So we don't treat anything. We don't really call ourselves healers in this space, but we're calling on creator energy, source energy, you know, God energy, whatever you want to call that. We're calling on it, and it does the healing when we step into this work. Yeah, it's based on the premise that we come into this world with the gifts and the burdens of our ancestors. The burdens are the unresolved, the effects of intergenerational trauma, the unresolved trauma that our parents carried, that our grandparents carried, et cetera, on down the way, on down the line in that direction, can kind of ground you in the science of that. We have a cellular experience in our grandmother, because when our mother was about 4 months old in her mother's womb, our grandmother's womb, her eggs are there. So we're there in a cellular way. So we're connected into our mother and grandmother's experience. And our grandmother was hooked into her grandmother's experience. And so and on down the line that way. So in a very real sense, we're connected in our cellular memory is connected to one another on down the line. How does that work? Well, that comes in as information in the system. There's all kinds of information that we're born with, you know, hair color, eye color, resilience just period, resistance to diseases, things like that. There's all kinds of information that comes in with us, including things that help us survive, but also including this residual unresolved trauma. And ancestral clearing addresses that piece. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes. How do you perform ancestral clearing? What does that entail?
Yeah, there's like 20 techniques or so, but I can do one technique of ancestral clearing here for the listeners today. And I'd like to do it around the witch wounds. So we could talk about that, and then I could bring in the clearing, which will take probably a couple of minutes to go through the process. But everyone will have an experience of what it feels like to have an ancestral clearing.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. Since that's how you're going to do the clearing, let's talk about what witch wounds are first.
Why don't we talk about what a witch is, right?
Okay, let's talk about what a witch is. Yeah, there's so many definitions, but let's hear your definition.
Well, there's a lot of confusion. I did look into the etymology of it over the weekend, and it got very complex. The etymology of the word is like, there's a lot going on there. It refers to wise women and wise men who played a crucial role in gathering and processing herbs to make them into medicine in the village. And they combined that with the understanding that they had of the natural rhythms in nature. And they observed the laws of nature, and they would include that in, that's a spiritual aspect, they would include that in the healing work that they did. That word is really based in the pagan tradition. And it got a big chasm developed when, you know, correct me, but I would go back to when the Romans came from, if we're talking about paganism in England and Ireland and Scotland and kind of European part of the theater. When the Romans came in with Christianity, there became this huge clash of, do it our way, and well, we have this way. And right, there was this, lots of wars were fought over that. So enter the wound of separation. At the heart of that, there's separation from, instead of being living in unity, which was the focus of really the pagan teachings were a part of that was unity with nature, oneness, community with people. And then you get this culture clash, which is all about control and separation and the other, which is a separation right there. And so then that's when I feel that it started. I mean, the witch trial started much later.
So that was the beginning of our witch wounds.
Yeah, you know, the Romans came in, the Christians, the Romans really came in, at least into the area I'm talking about, the history that I understand it, a lot of the healers were either murdered, persecuted, banned, shunned, thrown away, or they had to go underground to do their healing arts. And so there's the burden of not being, no longer holding the healing space in the community. So people weren't getting the healing that they needed. So the healers weren't able to do their job. And then the people in the village suffered because they didn't have their healers there. And so that's a double burden, right? There's the suffering of the healer not being able to do their work, and then all the people that suffered because the healer couldn't do their work, right? And then there's the wound of separation, where there's this, that's kind of the way I see that. I'm not anti-Christian. I'm not anti-Christ. It's not where I'm coming from. I'm just pointing out that there were two ways of being in these cultures that didn't get along, and they didn't find a way to coexist peacefully with one another. And the upshot of it was became, you know, many hundred years later, became witch trials and all that. And then recently, I'm not sure what country it was, but there was a country in Europe that had a declaration of apology for the witch trials. I read that 6 or 9 months ago. I have to look that up again.
Oh, I have to look that up. I hadn't heard about that.
I was amazed. I was like, great. You know, we're finally kind of coming full circle here, finally, after all these years. When you consider the witch wound, right? So we decided that's what a witch is, a wise woman who's been a wise man, because some of the men got labeled that way too. Who's been labeled as a bad person, as an evil person, and it's really that wound of the other. And you talk to spiritual people, certain spiritual teachers. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking to straight up spiritual teachers, and they'll say, a student will ask the question, how do I treat others? And the answer is, there are no others. That wound right there is powerful. So now we know kind of what the witch is. And from my point of view, anyway, the way I see it, think about the wounds that the persecution, how that reflects on all of us. First of all, we live in... You think about everyone who has roots into Europe and America that go back into the 1600s, the late 1600s, that would be when the witch trials were. So all those people. And then everything that led up to that, all the events that led up to that. You can add anyone whose ancestors carried the trauma from the witch trials, anyone that had a relative that was present there or had any hand in it or whose family was affected by it. And then you can also consider that the number grows even bigger when you think about everything that led up to it, the wound of separation itself. And when you think about us, we're all in the field of consciousness together. In the present moment, from that quantum physics point of view, you can access, you have the present, the past, and the future all in the present moment. They're all right here. So we're all together in the field of consciousness in this moment. And we're all together from the past and the future. It's all one moment. Because we're in the field of consciousness together, and these things happen in the past, we've all been affected. You kind of go from like, well, there's these people, and then there's these people too, and then there's everybody, right? Depending on what perspective you're coming from. Examples of the ways that the witch wound can show up. I'll give you a few of those, although we'll be covering a lot of those in the ancestral clearing prayer that we do, the process that we do. So here are some of the examples. Being labeled as other, that would be, you know, beginning point. Being shunned, outcast, or removed from your family, community, or culture. So imagine how somebody who was adopted feels, or somebody who was chased off their land, feeling like you don't fit in. Any belief or behavior reflecting scarcity. So not only does the witch wound carry the mark of separation, it also carries the wound of the energy of lack. Lack of safety, lack of connection, lack of self-control, misunderstanding the truth of spiritual principles, the lack of compassion, and more, right? So there's that lack energy that's included in it. This mark can show up as issues around abandonment, betrayal, not being able to find one's purpose in life, not feeling deserving of love from the divine or source, or from those in our community, a feeling of mistrust, a fear of being left out or left behind, and any other aspects that oppose this unity consciousness. You know, you could have like a seemingly deep and seemingly irrational fear of fire. And on the other hand, it would be like, you know, a deep and profound being mesmerized by fire, it's just kind of its opposite. Instead of just kind of having a balanced view, you kind of could have both, right? People pleasing as a source of safety. Even when it goes against your beliefs, that could be another one. I mean, there's a whole list. There's like a whole slew of them. We could go on and on, but you get the idea of the energy of lack and of separation.
When we feel like the other, when people other us, we feel like we're shunned, we don't fit in, and you know that affects our self-esteem.
Then we're not standing in our power, right? And then we're not able to, we can't stand in our power, we can't even access our intuition.
We don't feel worthy.
Yeah, we don't feel worthy, right? And we don't feel worthy of all kinds of things. And we forget that we came in, we just being here, just existing is worthy. But see, this is the wound, not feeling worthy. Yeah, for sure.
Can you tell us how we can release the effects of these wounds?
Let's do the ancestral clearing process and see how that affects people. That's the tool that I would use for this. The replay is just as powerful as the live. So people can listen to this again and again and still get benefit. And I'll just give you some instruction. So this is in the form of a prayer. We're asking higher power, whatever you call that, we'll call it creator, to help us release that which no longer serves us. And we use the word forgive to mean that. Help us release which no longer serves us. We use that word forgive. Offer up and asking creator to please help us release. So that's the context of the prayer. And I'd like everyone listening to this to just sit quietly and comfortably and notice whatever sensation is arising for you in your body. And just breathe normally and let these words pass over you. Creator, all that you are, was, and ever will be, we ask humbly and gratefully for us and all of our relationships, all of our ancestors and all of their relationships throughout all space, time, dimension, realms, lifetimes, and incarnations. For anything that led up to or arose from a sense of separation from one another or you. And for all we made it mean, all the insecurity and sense of estrangement that followed, all the letdown because of it. And anytime anyone felt the effects of these issues in the womb, please help us all to forgive one another and forgive ourselves. Please and thank you. For any time we had a fear of being hunted or persecuted, especially for being a woman with strong conviction and intrinsic power, for difficulty bonding with others, giving away our power to others, people-pleasing, bullying, self-punishment, or sabotage, self-sabotage, please help us all to forgive and release one another, release ourselves. Please and thank you. For any time you experience the stress around keeping secrets or feared secrets, for prejudice and the fear of it, for any time we had difficulty accessing joy, weren't able to let love in or allow ourselves to open our hearts. We felt disconnected from our true nature. For any time we felt a sense of hopelessness and for any dark night of the soul experiences, please help us all to forgive and release one another, forgive and release ourselves. Please and thank you. For those times we didn't feel safe to go beyond the rules, for invisibility wounds, overachiever energy, the experience of bullying, and any aspect of resentment, for avoidant behavior, feeling like we needed to hide behind a mask, and for any martyrdom in the lineage. Please help us all forgive and release one another, forgive and release ourselves, please and thank you. For any time we felt, believed, or were shown we weren't enough. For the times we couldn't find enough resources to go around for everyone. For times we felt a lack of safety and connection. For lack of confidence. For lack of space for our feelings or words to be expressed. We couldn't find the motivation to go on. For any experiences being shunned, banished, deported, or transported from each other or the homeland. For any time we felt we didn't deserve the love of the Creator or felt the Creator turned his back on us. And for any time we lacked an understanding or a true sense of our nature, a sense of our true nature, please help us all forgive and release one another, forgive and release ourselves. For all that happened and didn't happen, for once and for all, please and thank you. Please help us to reclaim all of who we are, our sense of unity and oneness, and live with our hearts open, tender, and burning in the brilliance of love. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. Please and thank you. And just take a breath in and let it out and notice how that feels in the body.
Please and thank you. Those are strong words.
For sure.
How often do you recommend that someone cites this prayer?
I do this work almost every day, and I have since 2014. So, I mean, as far as a practitioner goes, and I also do the work on my own. It gives you an idea of the amount of wound that we of burden that we carry, really, because we haven't done this work for a long time, if ever in the lineage. I would say keep doing it until you actually don't feel an effect anymore. I do the work. The prayer came through me, and I felt a change when I read it. when I recited that prayer, you know, for us. I felt it in my body, and I was the one that it came through. So I do this work all the time. So that's a very kind of personal question, and it probably depends on the amount of burden that people carry around this particular batch of wounds.
And this clearing prayer can apply to everybody for every issue.
Well, we pretty much covered all the bases because that, remember, the core issue is that wound of separation. And the lack of unity.
The lack and worthiness, lack of worthiness. I love it.
You know, that lack of worthiness is an aspect of the wound of separation, because if we're an aspect of the Creator, then worthiness drops out of the equation as an issue if we're not wounded. But if we carry the wound, worthiness is going to be an issue.
Where did your journey begin to lead you to becoming a practitioner of ancestral clearing?
I was in chronic pain for 40 years, and 31 of those I was on prescribed medication, including opiates and benzodiazepines, because that was the only answer the doctors had. And I knew there was another answer. I just had a heart that took me a while to find it. and I was doing spiritual work, but I wasn't doing quite the kind of spiritual work I needed to do. I finally found a doctor about a little over 10 years ago who understood the nature of chronic pain. And I went in and he also understood how to get you off that medication. So I went in there and into his pain management program and detoxed off the medication. One of the people that the staff members on his program was John Newton, as a wellness practitioner who brought this ancestral clearing in. And I remember the first time that I experienced that, I didn't know what was about to happen. As I said, I had the science background, so my science hat was on, and I'm like, what are we doing? And how do we measure it? And you know, all the sciencey stuff. And he brought this in and had us do the process, and I was completely surprised by my, not just my experience of where just one recitation of the prayer, we didn't even do it out loud. We did it silently in a room, 20 people, just saying it silently. I felt the room shift, and then I felt my pain disappear. And I was like, what? And everybody else reported that their pain had gone considerably down, if not disappeared altogether. And I was like, what the heck just happened in this room? I know something happened. You know, can you measure it? And can he repeat it? and does he teach this stuff? And like, I was so surprised. And I saw this process work again and again and again, not just on me, but on all the people in this program for the next 30 days or so. And I was like, I took the first training I could out of that program, and I've been in the work ever since. As I said, I'm a stress management and historical trauma specialist, ancestor clearing practitioner, and I'm a trauma-trained and a yoga-informed addiction recovery coach. So I help people who are in recovery trying to get their legs, their sea legs, stabilized in recovery from addiction. I help people in chronic pain who are struggling with chronic pain and are trying to find a way to find their way through that without the use of pharmaceuticals. And I'm not saying there's not a place for pharmaceuticals, but I am saying that there is the information about opiates and benzodiazepines as a cure for chronic pain. You can't find it, or if it's there, it's inaccurate, because chronic pain changes the brain in very fundamental ways. And in order to heal from chronic pain, you need to heal those changes. And benzos and opiates don't do that. So it was just a misunderstanding by the doctors that had me, and they just didn't understand. That's all. They just didn't understand the phenomenon. Finally, I found Dr. Peter Preskopf, who understood. He wrote this book, Conquer Chronic Pain, An Innovative Mind-Body Approach. And he passed away in 2016, but he left us this beautiful book. And it's the, kind of the doctory researchery part, and it's got some beautiful exercises in the back. And then I wrote this book, The Way Through Chronic Pain, Tools to Reclaim Your Healing Power, which is kind of the tools that I used, and kind of it lays out the landscape of what's happening in the mind and the soul of a chronic pain sufferer. And it also brings in includes ancestral clearing as one of the tools that I use. So that's how I got in. That's a long answer, but that's how I got in.
That's a very thorough answer. Do you consider yourself a witch?
I consider myself a child of nature. And if that's what a witch is, then I guess that's what I am. But I don't really label myself as anything but a child of a child of nature and a child of God, really. You know, if we're an aspect of the Creator, and the Creator's infinite, how do we even define ourselves? We're having a physical experience trapped in time and space, but we have this eternal part of us that lives beyond time and space. How do you, what label are you going to put on that?
And even people who label themselves as witches, there are so many definitions of a witch and different types of witches. What advice can you give the listeners who can identify their witch wounds and what they can do as far as their ancestral clearing?
I would repeat the prayer for sure. I'll share with you something, because it's very close to the witch wound. It's just a little different. It's a different aspect of it. If you had a Venn diagram, they'd intersect. I had a relationship, and it was a beautiful relationship until it wasn't, and there was PTSD involved, and you know, there was a lot of trauma involved that kind of came up. And anyway, I ended up getting a divorce, and it was after a very long relationship, and it was amicable until it wasn't, and then it became not amicable, and I was like, I'm not having this in this relationship. I refuse. I'm not going to have negativity in this relationship. I don't care what's happened, what's gone down, you know, why we're splitting up. Negativity is not happening. So I just made the decision. And I went home, and I started doing all this work around my own issues with men, which I didn't even know I had until I turned in and just decided, I'm going to go do an excavation and see what's going on here. And so I started doing all this work around old hurts and wrongs from the men in my life. And because I knew from this work that whatever was happening in this relationship had a root in the past. It wasn't about actually the relationship. It was about this other thing. So I started doing all this work. And now, mind you, I wasn't talking to the other person at this time. I was just doing my own work. It just tells you how we're all connected. This is like spooky action happening here. So I was in this work, and I was doing ancestral clearing, and I was also using another a prayer that the Sikhs use called Sopurk, and women recite that 11 times each day to help raise a man to clear negativity with men and to raise them to sainthood. And I'm like, I'm great with that. Let's just clear the negativity. And if it ends up raising them to sainthood, great, but let's just do that. So I kind of brought both these tools in. And I started having these interesting experiences where, you know, I was remembering issues that I had with this person and that person, and they were all male. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And doing all this forgiveness work around it as these came into my consciousness. And I was doing this every night. And at the end of 2 weeks in the evening, as after I finished my practice, I had this awareness. And I don't get these things, so it's very unusual for me. I saw this vision, and I can't tell you exactly when it was or where it was or who it was, but I know what it was. It was the time when men stopped seeing women as sacred. I saw that moment. It was profound. And I was like, oh my God, you know, and I was so grateful for having seen it because I'd heard about it. You know, you hear about, oh, the patriarchy and all that. But I saw that point in time when it actually happened. And I remembered it kind of took me right to that space, right? All that work took me to that one point where it all started, right? I went to sleep that night, you know, thanking, you know, the powers that be for showing me that. And I woke up the next morning and in this beautiful prayer, clearing what I call the ancestral clearing for the Magdalene wounds came through. And it's really addressing women and their sexuality wounds around that, women standing in their power wounds around that, and women in their intuition, the wounds around that. We call them the Magdalene wounds. There are many other avatars I could have picked, but that fit there. And that was about 3 months' time. The other person in this relationship completely changed their position, and I never said a word to them, but we became amicable again. And it just gives you like an idea of the, and then possibly they were doing some work, but I don't know that. I just know that I'm just telling you what my experience was. So this work can be very powerful. It's not linear. It affects us in an organic way. It affects kind of all levels when we do it. Is that in your experience?
And you probably attracted more people in your life once that happened. Positive people.
It changed everybody. It changed the field. It changed the whole field, right? I mean, things changed for me. I had a lot more inner peace and I was able to stand in my power better, and there was lots of healing for me there. The whole point of that was to get the relationship so that it was in some kind of, you know, in a space that was a healing for both of us.
Are you still in that relationship?
We're divorced, but we're still connected. So
it's amicable.
It's amicable. Yep, absolutely.
That's great.
It's an example of the power of the work and how it can affect. And I know that's kind of a super personal story, but I just feel like it's so appropriate because we're at a time now where where there's a lot of eye for an eye kind of energy going on. And there's there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of the patriarchy, you know, it's like there's a lot of that influence, and we have to be able to do the inner work ourselves to clear our own part of the field. And it'll affect the whole. You see what I'm saying?
Sharing your painful story is helping people now.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's why we do this. That's why we do these podcasts, to help other people.
That's right. Is there anything else you would like to share?
Well, I would like to say, I like to end these things saying the greatest healer in your life lives within you. Like doctors and nurses and any kind of healer, you know, alternative, complementary, whatever, they can guide you to kind of optimal circumstances, conditions to in which to heal, but they can't. They can set a bone, a stitch of a wound, and give you a balm and whatever, but it's the actual healing power is within you. And I just would like people to claim that, because it'll give them a more empowerment in their own healing when they really truly understand that in their bones.
I agree. You know, that's a lot of work. Working ourselves is a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, it can be, but what beautiful work. It's like, what other work is there? I mean, there's no other work that compares to it, because it's the benefits are vast.
Thank you for sharing all this today about witch wounds and ancestral clearing, and I'm sure that this will resonate with many people, and we now have a prayer for clearing.
Yes, yes. And thank you so much for the space to share with this. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being my guest, Elizabeth.
Thank you for joining us for Witchcasting with Theodora Pendragon. Have a burning question or have a topic you'd love Theodora and her guests to discuss on the show? Contact her through Instagram at Theodora Pendragon. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next one. And help us spread the word by leaving us a rating and review and sharing it with your friends. See you next time, and may your magic always shine.